ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time to head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Turon Davenport to the program, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Not much, man. Happy New Year to you. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. TD, it was just a few weeks ago that the Titans, frankly, got embarrassed by Jacksonville. And, you know, for a lot of that game, didn't look like they wanted to be there. And Skoronski talked about that after the game. And they've played much better on the whole since then. So this is obviously a very good, a very motivated Jacksonville team heading into this. What are you most interested in seeing from the Titans' perspective when it comes to the progress that they hope that they've made over the past few weeks as they take on Jacksonville on the road to close things out this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's probably the complementary football side of it. I want to see if they are able to run the ball and then play defense to keep the Jaguars from going up and stick to running the ball, because that's not what happened the last time they played. And if you remember that first drive, they got 70 yards rushing. And that was really when they sensed, like, wait a minute, we have something here with the run game. So I want to see that.
So, TD, we were talking earlier, you know, Monty Hooker banged up. Potential for, you know, pretty limited group, let's say, in the secondary. I mean, bad teams have these situations sometimes, especially late in the year. You get people injured, things like that. But the secondary, if Hooker can't play, this secondary as constructed, would it be the worst, among the worst you've seen in an NFL game?
It's going to be very close. It really would. You know, if you look at it, right, if that does happen, if Hooker doesn't play and whoever goes in there instead of Hooker, you're going to have three out of four guys that weren't even on the roster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when they go nickel, you're going four out of five, and it's just crazy. Darrell Baker Jr. is the only one that you would have said, okay, yeah, he would start. But the rest of the guys, you're like, nah. But here we are.
It's unbelievable. And again, I mean, you think back to last week, TD, and it looked good for the Titans in the first half. It fell apart in the second half, and that's a huge reason why. You know, on the Cam Ward front, I feel like on the whole, we're seeing some progress in the last part of the season here. I mean, he's made some big-time plays, made some more big-time plays last week against the Saints in the first half. If he's able to step up and have another good game against Jacksonville this weekend, how on the whole are you feeling about him if you're a Titans fan heading into the offseason, given everything that's happened around him so far this year?
You know, regardless, if I was a Titans fan, I would be feeling arrow is pointing up, and I think it's just because the way you saw him finish the season. If you want to play your best football in December, he did that. And I think if you look at what he's been able to do, just the comfort level that he's gotten to, and you're starting to see him get to that next level understanding, whereas you know everything on your side of things. Like, you know that inside out. Now it's like, okay, how can I predict your move, what you're going to do as far as the defenses are concerned? And I think that's something that he's starting to get to. And once you get there as a quarterback, it's all about the mind, you know, in the way that you, you know, approach things and how you understand it. And I think that's really the good part for Ward, where he's going.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, is just the because we focus on his play, of course, focus on his mechanics and all these things, but how much of the last few weeks and maybe even just overall some of the improvement on offense has to do with him pre-snap and his progress there?
Yeah, I mean, there have been multiple times where he got him into a better play, you know, and there were times where that better play was a run play and it was successful. So I think it has a lot to do with it. Like I said, he's getting just a better understanding of it and a different comfort level. And you see him calling out protection, you know, and changing the way things need to be.
TD, we've seen all sorts of people throw out all sorts of different thoughts and opinions on the Titans coaching search and some names of interest. The name of most interest to you, maybe the most intriguing name to you as we get ready to get into full-on coaching search mode next week?
Yeah, I mean, look, Arthur Smith is one that I think would be pretty cool to happen. But, you know, the name continues to be Brian Flores. And I'm just curious how the league is going to approach him being a well-deserving candidate. Because you look at the Dolphins defense, or excuse me, the Dolphins defense was good when he had them. But you look at the Vikings defense, you know, they're legit. And, I mean, look at that game they just won. They didn't get a good performance by the quarterback, but they were so good on defense that they won the game. So Flores is the one for me.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, there's the league aspect of that. And I also, not that, there was stuff he didn't like Tua or whatever that went down in Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are like, they just should be coordinators. I'm not saying that's, you know, that's what Flores is, but I guess you like it, and I agree. I mean, what they do on defense is insane. Like watching the Vikings, I mean, it's amazing. But I've been a Saleh guy, and I'm sticking with that. So if you compared those two guys, because obviously Saleh with the Jets, it was probably maybe more red flags, but also it's the freaking Jets. How would you compare those two?
Yeah, and let me be specific here. I'm not saying Flores is the guy that I think should get the job, or you know, the guy I want to get the job. I'm just saying he's the most intriguing.
Yes,
to me.
I would agree.
Yeah, but Saleh, I think it's two similar situations. But I mean, you can't discount the Jets, like the Jets being the Jets. You can't discount that. Just a truly dysfunctional organization. But the thing is, like both of these guys, you know, they got back on track. And I think that's the key thing, is how they bounce back after taking their fall and their first go around as a head coach. And, I mean, we know retreads, they happen a lot. So it'll be pretty cool, you know, for that to happen for, you know, Saleh or Flores, because we know guys that look like them don't always get a second opportunity.
TD, Femi Oladejo has been a full participant in practice all week. We know the injury that he's been dealing with. How big of a deal would it be for the Titans to get him healthy, maybe to get him out there against Jacksonville? I mean, the expectation wouldn't be all that high in terms of, I don't know how much he would play, if he's going to play at all. But how big a deal would that be to get him back out there in your mind?
Yeah, it would be huge. You know, they would like to get him out there. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, you look at the work he's doing. It's, you know, it's good. But you want to be able to carry that over to a game. So, yeah, it would be big time for him, and then also for him to know, like, hey, man, the knee is, like, everything feels good. Like, I can move on it. I can test it. Ain't no better way to test it than gotta sneeze, than a game.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Well, on Femi, TD, do you think that his lack of effectiveness when he was playing previously, is it a case of like a guy swimming a little bit, a rookie in the NFL, too much information type thing, or have you seen things that make you wonder if he has the physical skill set to get it done at the level a second round pick has to get it done at that position?
No, I think it's more just finding his way. He is a guy that is playing a new position also. We got to remember that. But, I mean, yeah, he wasn't effective on the sack side of things, but he got pressures and he was good against the run. So I think it's just a matter of just continuing to find his way and get used to the position. You know, he has to learn some of the techniques and things, you know, moves and counter moves on top of them.
TD, when you look at the job that Denard Wilson has done, we just talked about the secondary here. I mean, it's unbelievable the situation that they're in right now. I mean, we talked about this Kaharski the other day. Like, shouldn't Denard Wilson probably get at least an interview from the Titans and the head coaching part of this? I mean, I'm not saying you got to go hire the guy, but I think given the situation, he's done pretty well this year.
Yeah, absolutely he should get an interview. I mean, he has to be considered. Just when you look at, you know, the way so many things have, you know, broken down personnel-wise, whether it's injury or whatever, trades, I mean, he still managed to find a way to get these guys to get on the field and put a fairly decent product on out there. I mean, look at Jeffrey Simmons also. And I don't know if you saw where Simmons talked about wanting to keep Denard out there. I mean, he vouched for him. This is his best year that he's had, and Denard is a big part of that. So that's something. But then you also you just look at, you know, even the development of different players, you know, coming along, whether it's Kevin Winston Jr., Cedric Gray. I mean, there's so many guys, you know. So, yeah, he should absolutely get a shot.
Will you be offended like Kaharski will if Mike McCoy even gets an interview?
Yeah, offended is a strong one. I would be offended. McCoy, look, everything is not, you know, due to the change. You know what I mean? Everything isn't. You know, rookies, they got better. But I think he still did a solid job of just, you know, weathering the storm and getting that ship back on course. I think he did that.
Boy, Kaharski's going to be mad at you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't say a nice word about Mike. My goodness.
At you. TD, Happy New Year to you. Appreciate your time, as always. Enjoy yourself in Jacksonville this weekend, and I guess we'll be in full-on coaching search mode next week. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, fellas. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. You as well. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. We'll react to what TD had to say coming up next. We got Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. The Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for college football bowl games, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Twin Peaks. Today on Sports Talk 8:30, starting at noon, it's Rice taking on Texas State in the Armed Forces Bowl. Tonight on 102.5 The Game, Wake Forest, Mississippi State in the Duke's Mayo Bowl at 7 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment.
It's a real shame seeing that Kentucky buzzer beater at LSU. Because you can't help but root for people like Lane Kiffin and Kim Mulkey.
Did Lane stay for that?
Yeah, he was.
Was he there the whole time? I bet he was.
That I don't know.
I bet
know.
He dipped out at some point.
That I don't know. Speaking of Wayne
Kiffin.
Kane Liffin. Someone on the text line was saying, yeah, talking about the coaches. You know, because obviously today's portal day. So those guys, you think Lane right now is like, hey, guys, big win last night. Sleep in. All you guys who are joining my staff, sleep in. In New Orleans, enjoy your time. You know, you earned it. Now, I guarantee you Lane's like, okay, see you at 6 a.m., dudes, because it's portal day. So that'll be interesting, like, moving forward in terms of I assume that they're all going to continue with this run. My God, I hope so. But Joey from Bellevue said he read something where some of them may not. That would be.
There was some drama about that, the whole assistance with Ole Miss, yeah.
Yeah, you talk about ultimate pettiness. If Lane – yeah, I understand you need all hands on deck for the portal and all that stuff. But, like, if you try to, like, not let them be part of that moving forward, my goodness.
I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it. Like, all right, I didn't really think you guys would make it this far, so they're going to have to be on their own from now on.
Yeah, like, if I'm one of those guys, that's a good way to get your employees to resent you, by the way. You know? I mean, you're the jack wagon who left a team that could win it all.
Well, I had this question pop up earlier. Will Lane Kiffin, in his entire tenure at LSU, ever make a college football playoff semifinal the way that Ole Miss now has?
It's a good question.
I don't know.
I don't either.
The resources will be there for him to do so.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can do it.
Yeah. Just like Brian Kelly was going to come in there. The natties were just – it was going to be a waterfall of natties for Brian Kelly. So, yeah, we can all hope that he doesn't come close to this. Unless you're an LSU fan, right? Like, anyone who's a non-LSU fan – has to be rooting for that, right?
Oh, it would be hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I do think, it's going to be interesting stylistically. Them matching up with Miami and that defense is going to be fun. See how that goes. What was the line? 2.5?
Yeah. No, yeah. It should be a really fun game. Is Lane going to get Trinidad next year?
Probably. That seems to be the prevailing thought process.
Yeah.
But if you're him, though, like, how much – I mean, I understand that Charlie Weiss is not going to be there next year, but how much is what you're doing right now? Like, what if they go win the national championship? You're just going to leave and go to LSU?
And that's one of those things where if Ole Miss, you know, whatever LSU is going to pay him, you would hope that Ole Miss would be able to match it, right? And yeah, you would really love to see the kids stay there rather than go with Lane. I mean, that's the thing, though. you mentioned Weiss. How much of a great relationship is it that, right? That's where stuff like that can tilt the scales.
I mean, think about the quarterbacks in the Final Four. You've got Chambliss, his journey to get to where it is. And as you said, I mean, last night he was spectacular. He was spectacular with the way he played last night. Mendoza, obviously a Heisman Trophy winner. And
out of nowhere.
A little bit of a goofball, but out of nowhere. I mean, it's fun to watch that. And then you've got Dante Moore from Oregon. And by the way, Carson Beck still chugging along in Miami. Now, look, I know Carson Beck didn't do a ton in that game against Ohio State, but, I mean, for a moment, last night I was like, it's going to be Carson Beck taking on his old team in Georgia. They avoided that matchup, but.
That was the thought I had earlier that I forgot. Yes, okay. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, because that's the only thing that's bad about last night. And it's, I mean, it's great seeing Georgia get bounced, right? Again, yes. If you're a non-Georgia fan, it's great seeing Georgia get bounced. But that would have been fun. Carson Beck.
Taking on Kirby?
Taking on Kirby and the Dogs. Yeah, it's quite a group. Chambliss is just – watching him play, it's just hard for me to even understand how he was that – limited of a prospect.
Yeah.
You know, but this is also where strength and you can grow some and you can get bigger and stronger and just things can come together for you that when you're 16, 17, 18, you can be very different at 19, 20, 21.
Vols go get Trinidad Chambliss? Just make a big offer for him?
I mean, if I'm Trinidad Chambliss, I might be like, you know what? Hey, Cignetti, what are you looking at? What are you looking at next year? Because everybody who goes to you, not that – last year, Curtis Rourke was like a high pick or anything. I think he was 6th, 7th rounder. But he was like totally off the radar. And now Mendoza was not on any high draft pick radar going into this year.
No. But he's going to find him another quarterback, I guess, this offseason. I mean, Indiana is going portal. I mean, Miami, too. Put them in the list. I mean, what quarterback's going to end up at Miami in the transfer portal? It is interesting to see the way these teams do this. We had the earlier this week, the portal versus high school recruiting conversation. And I do think, like, you need some level of both. But there are teams out there that are just like, nope, we'll go find a quarterback in the portal. It's interesting.
Well, Texas Tech right now, they certainly – they did a heck of a job. They built a championship defense, and they are not good enough at quarterback.
He was bad yesterday.
He was very bad. And so that's where it's like, you know, they're going to be – getting this. Larry on the YouTube chat says, all this is why college football is a broken system. It's all a big joke. I don't know. I think some of this stuff is pretty cool. Like Indiana doing what it's doing, Ole Miss doing what it's doing, Vanderbilt, what they did this year. I think that stuff's all pretty cool. Now, is there a lot of stuff that's messed up? Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so. But some of the byproducts of all this stuff, to me, are some of the most interesting stuff in my lifetime in college football.
Head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Happy New Year.
Yeah, y'all too, man. Happy New Year. Hey, screw Lane Kiffin, man. I'm so happy that they were able to do it without him. And I know he gets paid, so it's like, you know, it's bitter. But
500K.
Chambliss was a stud. Was he a baseball player? Do y'all know that?
I don't know. That's a good question. Sure. I mean, like, I assume just naturally that like 90% of these quarterbacks were, but I don't know.
He reminds me kind of like of Kyler, except not little and playing Nintendo all the time. But he threw some strikes, man. Like I'm sitting here going, that might be the best quarterback left. I don't like the Indiana guy. I can't get there with him. But fantastic for Ole Miss last night, dude. I got all my family's Mississippi, and so I told them all along that Lane was going to do them like that. But also, I was like, everybody in the country is an Ole Miss fan tonight. You know, just because they want to see Lane Kiffin, you know, not be a part of it too. Anyway, no, I thought that was a fantastic game, dude. And would a quarterback like that get drafted, or is it all about intangible with him? I don't know. I loved watching him. And by the way, I don't know if you guys have talked about it because I jumped in late. He had like felt like 20 drop balls too. So it would have been way better game for him than it even ended up being.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate the call. Yeah, like. I mean, he's, 6'1", 200?
He's listed as 6 foot.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's part of this for sure. So, he's probably not even six. He doesn't look as short out there as, you know, like someone who would be listed 6 foot on their college bio. But He, by the way, he was a hooper. He was not a
no baseball.
He was not a baseball player. And also, so if I'm reading this correctly, so he played 4 years at Ferris State, and now he is playing this year.
I can't keep up with the eligibility rules anymore.
Doesn't that mean he's done? I mean,
I don't know. Is anybody done in college football?
Well, he's suing
anymore?
Right? He's trying to get an extra year.
Chambliss is part of the suit?
I think so.
But what are the
maybe
grounds?
A different suit?
What are the grounds?
Something about Ferris State and how it shouldn't count. I don't know exactly.
Oh, he's trying to get himself 4 years.
No,
ago?
Not, I
he think can be just, playing until 30.
I think just one, but. So, I don't know all the details.
Interesting.
But okay. It does have to do with his previous stop.
I definitely can't keep up with all the lawsuits and the different people as part of it. It's like Pavi is still part of his, but he's just doing it for other people. And, this was he's arguing for a medical redshirt for one of his years. Okay. So there you go. I mean, at least there's like – because I'm like, dude, like, you played it fair. Like, there's as far as I know, playing at D2 counts. It's not JUCO.
Who knows anymore, man?
Yeah.
He could be the quarterback for LSU in 5 years. Have no idea.
It is possible.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. The second Pigskin Pick'em of the week. A lot of NFL action. A lot of high-stakes NFL games to get into coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for the second edition of the week of Pigskin Pick'em. An update from last time out. Ian Safar, the best couple of days. He went 4-2. Did not pick up his log, but did go 4-2.
Come on, Vandy.
Yeah, Vandy. Kind of screwed you there. I went 2-4. I did get my lock with Oregon taking down Texas Tech. Joe 2-4, no lock, which brings the overall standings. I am in first, 60-54 overall, 9-10 on my lock, 69 points. Ian Safar, 55-59, 7-12 on lock, 62 points. Rex Road, 49-65.
Oh, my God.
10-9 on locks, 59 points.
I mean, I might have been sub 500 before. I've definitely been above 500 before, but 16 games under? Holy crap.
There's still time.
Is this like a cognitive decline?
Problem is, there's still time. Still time to get better. There's also still time to get worse.
Yeah. I know. I was like, oh, let's have two this week. I can make up some ground. Yeah. Good idea.
We begin with Saturday Night Football, the Seahawks at the 49ers. Seahawks are a 1.5-point favorite. This is a very intriguing game to me. San Francisco has been playing very well. Brock Purdy, the last few weeks, has been playing as well as anybody. I'm still going the Seahawks. I'll take Seahawks -1.5. I just think their defense, when they're on, can be pretty nasty, and I'll give the Seahawks the edge in this one. Ian Safar, who we got?
I am actually going to go the opposite. I am taking the Niners. They are hot, and they are rolling. It should be interesting, this whole really good defense versus really good hot offense kind of going up against each other. I don't know. 49ers are at home. Maybe that helps a little bit. I'm going to take San Francisco.
It's also it's a high-stakes game for Sam Darnold, and we'll see what that
looks
like.
That's true.
Joe Rexler, what we got?
Yeah, here's a chance to gain one on Robbie. Give me the Niners. Saw them carve up the vaunted Bears defense, and I like them at home.
Going with San Francisco plus the 1.5. The Titans taking on Jacksonville in the Milky Pool down there in Duval. I'm sure the people down there are fired up. Probably have an I hate Corey Curtis poster somewhere in that stadium. Duval's best friend. Jacksonville, a 12.5-point favorite in this game. Ian Safar, you are up first on this one.
Yeah, it's a big number. But we talked about it. The Titans secondary right now could be in some big-time trouble. So I'm not going to lock it, but I am going to take the Jags to cover 12.5.
Going with Jacksonville minus the 12.5. Joe Rex Road, who do you have between the Titans and the Jags?
Who do you have? Then I can
not tell you.
I'd do the Jags. I actually was really thinking about the Titans, like just might show up and just sort of, you know, show a little pride. Jeff Simmons wrecked the game a little bit.
I do wonder
the ball a little bit.
I do wonder how Jacksonville. You know, they need to win, obviously. But are they expecting the Titans to just
roll over?
Completely not show up?
Yeah.
And them kind of, you know, play with their food a little bit early on?
Yeah, I think it's possible. But I'll go Jags.
Jags lock.
Here we go.
I am locking
down
on Duval, which makes me very uncomfortable. I don't like that at all. I really don't like them.
I mean, I came close to locking it, too.
Yeah, but I will go Jacksonville minus 12.5, and I will lock down it. I just think when you can't come within 6 yards of defending the forward pass, that's probably going to be a problem in the NFL. The Ravens and the Steelers in a game for the AFC North. Ravens a 3.5-point favorite on the road with Lamar Jackson back in the lineup. Joe Rexrode, who we got?
God, I have to go first now.
Well, you're not going to back off now, are you?
I just hate the half. I hate that half point because I just think it's going to be like a 24-21 game. I'll take the Ravens.
Not a lot of conviction with that pick, Ian.
Nope.
I should not have conviction in any of my picks at this point.
No one really should.
Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody's just counting them out. I think they're going to win. I'll go the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the game, but I will take them to cover plus the 3.5 against Safar. Who you got?
I mean, the Steelers' offense without DK Metcalf, though, has been pretty bad.
It's a problem.
You know?
Yeah, and the odds are against them. They miss him.
It's not good, and I don't know how the passing game's going. I don't know. I kind of feel like the half a point actually kind of sticks out to me. You know, maybe the Ravens can win by a field goal. I also am going to take the Steelers.
Okay.
I did not expect it.
Let's go, Ravens, baby. Come on.
I thought I was stepping out on a limb there. We move to the individual portion of the program. I will go first. Give me the Minnesota Vikings minus 7.5 against the Green Bay Packers. Clayton Tune is starting at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. I don't know that they're going to have enough bodies to fill out a roster for this game. And they've already made the playoffs and have locked themselves into the seventh seed. So Minnesota may win by 35. So I will go Minnesota minus 7.5 against the Green Bay Packers. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
I don't really like doing this one because it's a divisional game, and I don't know. But I've been rolling with them. Texans minus 10.5 versus the Colts and Riley Leonard.
Guarantee.
I think they can make that happen.
Texans minus 10.5. Ian locking down on them against the Indianapolis Colts. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
The Armed Forces Bowl today. Rice, Texas State. Texas State minus 17.5. Mm. Give me Texas State against the nerdy Rice kids who only got in because their GPA is so high and they needed enough teams to fill out a bowl. I'm counting on Texas State to win this game by about 30. And that's not my lock, but I feel good about it.
Texas State minus 17.5 against Rice. I'm sure dozens will be watching that game. Rexrode.
I will be among them.
There you go. It's so far your second individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to take, I don't know, I'm torn between a couple of these games. So I'm going to go, I haven't been great on the over-unders, but I'm gonna try and sneak one in here. Cowboys at the Giants, over 49.5. Going with it. Two teams are kind of, you know, they're donezo. Both these defenses kind of given up. Hopefully like Jackson that. Dart still kind of wants to play. 49.5 over Cowboys Giants.
I'm actually going over under as well. Colts Texans, 38.5. I don't think the Colts are going to score.
Take the under, okay?
I'm going under. Give me the under, okay. The 38.5. I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts got blanked in this game. Joe Rexrode, your second individual selection.
Look at you guys with your over unders. That's so cute.
I haven't been good with them.
Jets Bills. Yeah, I don't even – who the heck are the Bills playing? I don't care.
I don't know if Josh Allen's going to play.
I don't think he's going to play. No, they're only minus 6.5. If he was playing, they'd be minus 19, right?
Probably.
But it's the freaking Jets. 6.5. I don't care if the Bills are going to put, like, Joe Ferguson out there. Give me the Bills and make it my lock.
Guarantee.
Doug Flutie at quarterback for the Bills this weekend.
Rob Johnson.
Taking on the Jets. Bills minus 6.5. Rexrode locking down on that. Rexrode, close us out with your final individual selection.
Okay, Chargers, Broncos. Broncos minus 12.5. Broncos playing for the one. The Chargers are playing Trey Lance because they don't have anything at stake here. And I just feel like Sean Payton, any chance he gets to absolutely stick it to Jim Harbaugh, he's going to take that chance. So I'm going to take the Broncos minus the 12.5.
Broncos can lock up the number one seed in the AFC with a win. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Going back and forth here between two games. Panthers and Bucks, back and forth here.
It's a tough one.
Barn burner. You see, Dave Canales said the NFC South this year is like a gauntlet. Oh yeah,
it's real quite good. The gauntlet. Right. I mean, Tampa,
Matt Campbell. He's talked to Matt Campbell.
Yeah,
Tampa's just been so bad. You know, I really want to pick against him. I kind of think Carolina's going to win this game, but I'm going to go. My pick officially is going to be Cleveland's checked out. The Bengals are rolling more. Give me Cincinnati -7.5 versus Cleveland.
Bengals -7.5 against the Browns, the Battle of Ohio.
Let's go, Shadur.
In the NFL. Give me Wake Forest +3.5against Mississippi State in the Mayo Bowl. I have no idea who's playing for Wake Forest. I know that things aren't going well for the SEC right now, and I don't think Mississippi State at 5-7 is going to be the team that turns it around. They're somehow favored in this game, but I'll go Wake Forest +3.5 against Mississippi State in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And
come on, SEC. Some pride.
Dunked in that disgusting vat of mayo out there. Good stuff.
What a day. Like, you're too occupied having to do all this game stuff. You, like, lose all these dudes in the portal, and then you end up winning a game, and you have to just have a bunch of mayo dumped on your head.
I would totally dodge it. I'd have eyes in the let me know when this stupid mayo thing's coming. I'll get out of the way.
By the way, last night...
You got to rename it the Shane Beamer Bowl. It's what he takes pride in anyway.
Last night in one of the four celebrations from Ole Miss before the game actually ended, did you see the Pete Golding Gatorades? Like, the two groups of players, like, one, they had two things of Gatorade. They both poured them out. He seriously did not even look back at them. He was just like this. I don't know if this guy's going to be, like, a great coach or what. He went for two in the first half, which I'm like, dude, that is... I mean, that's kind of disqualifying in my mind. But he has, like, no – like, go back and watch it. Like, zero reaction. He just was kind of looking pissed off as the Gatorade just hits him from the left and the right.
And for those on the radio audience, when Jurex Road says like this, he means stone-faced, did not have any.
Did I just say that? Yeah. He looked like this.
He looked like this.
Sorry. YouTubers, you know what I'm saying. Check it out, YouTubers. He just, yeah, sorry. He had a totally stoic look on his face. It was pretty funny.
It is.
He's an interesting dude.
Yeah, he is. Look, I will say, if you're a Titans fan, I mean, you've got your history here with Baltimore, obviously. You've got some history with Pittsburgh, too. I mean, you don't really like either one of them if you're a Titans fan. Who do you want to lose more, Baltimore or Pittsburgh? Because, like, you know, the coaching part of this could be interesting, too. Like, if Baltimore loses, what's going to happen with Harbaugh? If Pittsburgh loses, does Tomlin decide to go ahead and part ways with the Steelers? What do we make of that one coming up on Sunday night? It's a massive game in the NFL.
You know, yeah, for sure. There's obviously the coach. I mean, it's almost like some people look at this like it's like the NCAA tournament, like losing coach. Okay, a losing coach is available. He's been eliminated from the NFL head coaching roster. But I would think Titans – I understand the Ravens' history. I do. But aren't you rooting for Derrick Henry, Titans fans? You don't want Derrick Henry to have a big day and have a chance to be in the postseason?
I think you're also talking about it just depends on when you became a Titans fan.
Yeah.
But you're probably talking about their most hated rival.
This is a tough one, especially when you throw Aaron Rodgers into the mix now with the Steelers.
That's true.
It's hard to root for him.
Right. And also, like, the hatred for the Steelers has been pretty consistent, too, and they've had some years where they were – both of the top
Ravens, though, is next level.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember when Pat McAfee got introduced on, like, punt, pass, and kick thing, and they're like, from Pittsburgh, boom! There's some
although
bitterness there. Aaron Rodgers should tilt the scales.
Jake Lyman makes a good point here. The Draymond Jones trade and the conditions, if they make the playoffs, it moves to a fourth.
Yeah, that's right. Boy. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jake Lyman.
Fourth round pick.
He's exactly right. You got to root for the Ravens.
That's it. That's the difference, the fourth round pick.
They can take all they can get, man. Every last
pick. They just found some good players, I think, in the fourth round.
They have. The fourth round's been pretty good to them for 1 year.
Larry on the YouTube chat wondering if you're wearing a Carhartt hoodie. We went over this earlier. Not Carhartt, but.
My wife bought me a set. She bought me a hoodie and sweatpants together, and so I think that I may be wearing a woman's outfit, but it's okay.
One more segment coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robert on the text line says he's rooting for Henry. So there you go. At least some Titans fans rooting for Derrick Henry.
You have to, right? Now, the one thing about that One thing I noticed last couple days, San Diego Chargers after Rivers.
Chargers? San Diego?
Oh, crap. You know what I'm saying.
Superchargers.
Again, cognitive decline, okay?
Fouts. If Fouts can move it this weekend, Ian, I think they got a shot against that Broncos defense.
Does Fouts have any eligibility? He could go to Tennessee.
Well.
The Chargers, the L.A. Chargers, as your microphone
there it goes.
Implodes.
I didn't even touch it.
I mean, it just popped out.
Yeah.
Wow.
We got to do some repair work this weekend. What a catch.
Email has been sent.
That's good.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Chargers.
Dan Fouts, yes.
Yeah. Now, they sent out a thing with Philip Rivers in his Charger uniform. It was like one step. It was like one step closer to the Hall of Fame. You know, because – I mean, it's not even a question with him, right? I mean, obviously, he was there forever.
You're talking about Drew Brees, not Phillip Rivers. Yeah.
No, they sent something out about
Phillip Rivers. I saw the Chargers tweet of when Drew Brees got announced as a finalist. It was like, yeah, getting to the Hall of Fame. It's like, and then all the replies were like, oh, good. You guys are trying to claim Drew Brees now since you gave up on him? Good stuff.
I mean, I hope I wasn't wrong on that. I swear I saw Phillip Rivers in the Chargers. Maybe they're just tweeting about every quarterback they've ever had. But the way that relates to this is, of course, if Henry – I mean, how much success would Henry have to have at Baltimore to go in as a Raven instead of a Titan?
Do they do that in the NFL? Like,
yeah.
Do you go in as a team?
I believe so.
I've heard conflicting reports on that.
I thought it has, like, your helmet, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I think you get to pick the helmet, but I don't know if you – I don't know.
There is something I'm quite sure that indicates, like, the primary team that you are representing there, I think. If not, well, then I've wasted all of our time.
I'm going to see who Peyton Manning
went in the Hall of Fame. How's that mic doing?
Well, it's hanging on by a thread. We're going to see who Peyton Manning went in the Hall of Fame as. What team? It just says he went in representing both the Colts and the Broncos. I don't know.
How do you do that?
I don't know. It does say they get to select which team helmet logo appears on their bust in Canton to represent their career.
Yeah, like the helmet, the bust, right. Yeah. And that's kind of a big deal. So how did Peyton, did he split
Some players like Breeze or Gore could multiple teams. I don't know.
Why would Breeze do that? The Chargers totally gave up on him. Yeah, get out of here. Well, okay. Well,
like,
anyway.
Who's Brady going in as? Patriots or Bucks? Wouldn't it be awesome if he was like,
Raiders?
Yeah. Well, that's true. Wouldn't it be awesome if he was like, yeah, just put me in as a Buck?
Maybe he thinks he's going to go in actually in the announcer wing.
Wow. You know,
just represent Fox.
Contributor to the game? Yeah.
Contributor. I don't know. So, I don't know. I guess that's maybe not that big of a deal, but if I was a Titans fan, I do hope that if he does make a choice, he's picking the Titans. And I think at this point he would. But what if they get to the Super Bowl?
Look, man. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. People who play for Baltimore love Baltimore. Love it. Like from the, you know, just the ownership down, the organization. We've talked about it. It's one of the most steady organizations in sports. Like if he's there for another year, and they have, like, decent postseason success. I'm not even talking win a Super Bowl. Like, he might just be like, yeah, I'm a Raven.
Who does what organization does D-Mace love more, the Titans or the Ravens? He had a lot of success at both places.
Just, I don't know.
I think it's the Ravens.
If you just I don't think he's ever said that. This is just me kind of trying to read between the lines when he speaks about each individual team.
I think it's the Ravens.
I think it might be the Ravens.
So when the Titans and Ravens played in those two recent playoff games, were D-Mace's heartstrings pulled more by the Ravens than the Titans?
I don't know. That I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, he does work here now.
I could ask him this question. We could ask him. I mean, this would be a good question for Ask D-Mace. It may have been asked already. But
yeah,
I'm pretty fascinated by the answer.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, during
the
game?
Who in your heart of hearts do you want to win this game? And I know he's here. He's here in Nashville. That he's made this his home. He talks about the Titans every day. But, to your point, people end up loving that organization. He was there a while.
He was.
I mean, he did great for fantasy teams of mine on both the Titans and the Ravens. Thank you, D-Mace. He also made my college experience better. Thank you, D-Mace, for that, too.
That's what we really wanted to get to in this segment.
That punt return.
Thank you, D-Mace.
That punt return, the Michigan State game, pretty sweet, man.
Yeah, check the sweatsuit.
1995. Holy crap, 30 years ago.
So far in the portal for Tennessee, it looks like Ricky Gibson is entering the portal. Lance Hurd, their left tackle, entering the portal as well. So those are two starting level players that are going to be gone. You know, Hurd, I think Tennessee fans looked at that last night and they said, well, they're probably starting David Sanders at left tackle and moving Jesse Perry back to right tackle, where he played really well earlier in the year. So I don't think Tennessee fans really care that Lance Hurd has hopped in the portal.
Depth is good, though.
I am interested to see, you know, the Gibson part of this. What does it mean for corner? Because, I mean, I know you were without him all year long anyway, so you just played without him. But you are now officially without McCoy, who's going to the draft, Gibson, who's going to the portal. We'll see where he ends up. And then Hood going to the draft. So those are three good players.
Yeah, the strength – on paper of your defense, but again, you didn't get the strength,
any of it.
But it's the strength; it should be the strength.
What'd they get? They got, I mean, they got zero snaps with all three of them. They got what, 20 snaps with Gibson and Hood out there together.
Yeah. Gibson is that he? It would have been nice. It would be nice. Again, you don't know. Sometimes guys do go in the portal, and sometimes they end up going back to the team. But usually, you hope that the negotiating and all that happens before you even go in. So he's probably gone somewhere else. And, you know, look.
How many quarterbacks going to be out
there? We just saw this move with Martinez, and sometimes that is a factor too, right? It's like, this is a guy I wanted to play for. He's gone. I don't know this new guy. So there's that too. But, then, of course, you're going to a new place with a new guy there.
Missouri kid apparently going to visit Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech.
There you go.
Probula?
Yeah.
You said Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech?
Correct.
Get in there, Jimmy Frank coming on strong right away.
Stanford in the mix, too.
That is a thing to keep an eye on today if you're a Tennessee fan. How many quarterbacks hopping in the portal today? What does that look like?
Yeah, so there's a lot of expectation. You know, Sorsby from Cincinnati. There's buzz about Texas Tech. You know, obviously you've got Mestemaker. People think going to Oklahoma State. Anthony Beck from Iowa State to Penn State, the TCU guy, Josh Hoover, is he the next Indiana quarterback? Who's left for the Vols if all these things happen?
Very interesting question. Or maybe they're just going with McIntyre. Maybe that's been the plan the whole time.
I will continue to say Aiden Chiles is something to think about. It's just a question of he's been inconsistent too, so it's like, would you rather bring in somebody? If you're going to bring in somebody, you probably want someone who's been more consistently successful, mm-hmm. but that's hard to do, especially if those guys are off the board.
There's always a few, whether it's quarterback or elsewhere, that hop in the portal that come out of nowhere, and I'm interested to see what that looks like today.
I mean, Joey Aguilar, yeah. who had any expectation he was going to do what he did.
Well,
this
I'm
year.
Just saying, like even like established guys that we know what they are.
Oh,
every
for sure.
Year, there's somebody hops in, you're like, wow,
yeah,
they're in the portal. So we will see. That does it for us today. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.